fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's a fantastic week here, being on the eve of Pentecost, the celebration of that great feast in the church year. We remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which gave birth to the church and continues to give birth to the church in the hearts of those who are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Pope Benedict XVI said a number of years ago that the fundamental reason Jesus came, the culmination of all of Jesus's, the incarnation, his passion, death, resurrection, ascension to the right hand of the Father, it all led to what we'll be celebrating this weekend, Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus put it this way. He told the apostles after the resurrection, he said to them that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses. He said, I give to you now the promise of the Father. He said, I will clothe you with power so that you can proclaim the message. You can tell the world the good news about what I've accomplished. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of power. It's God's power. It's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a participation in Jesus' magnificent and absolute victory over the powers of sin and death. It's the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's the absolute freedom of Jesus Christ the Lord, who passed from death to life, and there's nothing that could hold him down. That's exactly what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that death could not hold him down. In Jesus, friends, is a power. In Jesus was divine power, a capacity to break the strongholds of death. He passed from death to life. And he passed from death to life in human flesh. One of us, the firstborn of a new creation, that's what Scripture says, so that he could, as the head of a new race of people, he could bring you and he could bring me from death to life. He could give, by giving us a share in his existence in glory. As St. Peter would say, we have become now, in the Holy Spirit, as sons and daughters of God, we have become partakers of the divine nature. The reason Pentecost is the culmination of all of Jesus' work is that it's the outpouring of the Spirit. It's not just an event, a day of solemnity, a feast to remember a particular event. But the reason we celebrate it is that that event is happening today. It's happening every day in the world and at every moment when human beings turn their heart to Christ, repent of their sins, believe he is who he says he is, and come under his lordship, freely offering their life, repenting of sin, being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. The church is a miracle. The church is a work of God by which he brings from death to life human beings who've heard the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and they've passed from death to life. And that means it's not just a human decision. It's not just a religious, what you say, a religious practice of some kind. It is saying yes to Jesus who holds within his own hand all the authority in heaven and earth. All power belongs to him. And Jesus says, do you want to be made alive? Do you want to become part of the new creation? I want to give you a share in my glory, my absolute freedom and unity with my Father. The joy that belongs to us, I want to give it to you. Do you want it? Jesus will pour out his Spirit on every heart who sincerely asks for it. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus' words to the apostles show us, they're in the upper room after his resurrection. First time in this account of Luke that the apostles are with Jesus. And they're there, and I've talked about this a few times over the last year because it's a passage that I think reveals a tremendous amount of our purpose in the Lord, what we're called to, what he's done for us, and what his will is for us, what he intends us to do, how to respond to what he's done for us, and what our call looks like. It says, you know, Jesus gathered, first time they've seen them, the apostles seen him, and he is many of them for that, imagine the days after seeing Jesus die, and be crucified. They were shaken. Some were fearful. The leaders of the Sanhedrin and others were pursuing them. They wanted to deal with this problem, so they were threatened. They were under trial. They were beginning to be persecuted. And they were just afraid because Jesus was now gone. But he appears in their presence, and he says to them, he opens the Bible, the scripture to them, that is the prophets and the teaching of Moses and the Torah, and how it all pointed to what happened to Jesus. Jesus wanted to assure the apostles and reassure them everything that happened to him was according to plan. Jesus is in control of everything. Jesus is exercising his lordship over everything, and they don't need to be afraid of anything. So he said, I'm going to open your minds now. He opened their minds to the scriptures, and he wants to open your mind, my mind, to his plan. He wants to touch our mind with the power of the Holy Spirit so we can grasp what really matters in this world. We can have an eternal perspective. We can see reality as Jesus sees reality and then order ourselves to that reality so we can become everything we're meant to be, so we can live out that purpose for which we were created and designed. He's the one who made us. He made us on purpose for a purpose, it said, right? Jesus knows who we are, and he has a plan for us, and it's the Holy Spirit and surrendering to the Holy Spirit, listening to the Spirit, being docile to the Spirit, living in a new Pentecost, in a personal Pentecost, each day of our lives, that we're able to hear the Lord and to have him speak to us as he did to St. Francis and the other saints. And I love St. Francis used to pray and ask Jesus a very simple prayer. Lord, who are you and who am I? It's the Holy Spirit that shows us who he is and who we are, what we're meant to be. And so Jesus begins to open their minds and to impart to them the call that begins with them, but it's a call that's shared by the entire church, all the baptized. He said this, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. See, this is the center of Jesus' concern. He's saying, why did I die? Why did I rise again? So that a message could be proclaimed to the world, to all nations, not just to the Jews, to all nations, referring to the Gentiles as well. Israel, God's chosen people, were destined to bring the word of salvation to the entire world. It wasn't just meant to be held alone among the Jewish people. Jesus is the Messiah of the Jews, but he's the light to the nations. And the light now is about to go forward to the nations. The light is what? People did not know God. They did not have knowledge of God. Didn't know why they're here. Where they're going. What's the purpose of my life? All of that. Jesus has come to reveal to his creation its purpose, its destiny, its calling, its identity. And it's beginning with the apostles. Remember, the prophet Jeremiah, Jesus is referring, he's probably interpreting some of these very passages. As it said, he opened his mind to the prophets, their minds to the teaching of the prophets. Jeremiah 31, I'm going to put my law in your heart. Every man will know me. Every man and woman and child will know me from the least to the greatest. I'm not just going to give an external law. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and all will be able to say, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I know him personally. He's called me. He shaped me. So the apostles are receiving this teaching from Jesus, and he doesn't want them to miss the point. He said, I've died so that, and risen again, so that the forgiveness of sins can actually happen. People's sins can be forgiven and taken away. It's the sin problem, as I've said so many times on the program, that produces the death problem. And it's all rooted, that death is rooted in the fact that sin separates us from God. We have no future. We have no hope apart from God. We fall short of our destiny. We cannot see our purpose. It's just a fog in our head. We end up living for ourselves, being gripped by fear and the power of sin. And Jesus said, now, forgiveness of sins is possible because Jesus has made sacrifice for sin on the cross. He shed his blood. He became sin for us. He died for my sin. Because Jesus died on the cross, because his blood was shed, now forgiveness is possible. And friends, this is what Jesus is after. The forgiveness of sins so we can be brought from death to life. He said, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. In whose name? In Jesus' name. Why? Because Jesus alone can forgive sin. Why? Jesus is God. How is the human race saved one heart at a time? Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How did they come to know that? Through the preaching of the gospel, which at the heart of the gospel is the declaration that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is here, that God has come in his mercy to save us all who are trapped in sin. And he calls us to believe that he's the one, and saying yes to him, to repent of our sin and accept the diagnosis of our life. Jesus knows the heart of man, Scripture says. He knows the sin-sick condition of our heart. It's not a surprise to him. He's never surprised at how sick and depraved and broken and screwed up the human heart can be. He's not surprised by it at all, because it's sin laid hold of us, and he came to break that power. No one sees it more clearly than he does. And so when we say yes to the proclamation of the gospel, and we acknowledge that he's right and we need forgiveness of sins, Jesus said he's the one who can bring this to the whole world. Nobody else can. No other religious mode of being, no other religious practice, no other prayer form or form of meditation, no philosophy, nothing. There's nothing on the face of the earth, friends, that can bring us from death to life, that can give us a share in the divine nature, that can lead us to understand ourselves at the absolute core of our being. Only Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He's the way for you. He's the way to salvation. He's the way out of darkness and sin and self-loathing and anger and depression and all the things that can affect the human heart so deeply. He's the way out. He's the truth. The reason he's the way out is he's the truth about you, why you're here, where you've come from, where your life is going, how you can find ultimate happiness, how you can become all that you were meant to be. He's the truth about you. He's the truth about God and God's love and God's power. He's the truth about who you are called and meant to be, and he's the light. He wants to bring light and shed his light into your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is bring us from death to life. Pentecost is first and foremost about sharing in the power of Jesus Christ, a power and a life that will never die, a life, an indestructible life that belongs to him, being communicated to each and every one of us. Jesus says to us, if you want it, if you desire it, he'll give it. But to want it means to want it on his terms. It means to be willing to acknowledge the depth of our sin and our brokenness and our ego and our pride and our priorities ahead of his, and to repent for that and to set it aside and to put Jesus at the center of our life, of your life and mine, the center of our heart, and to say, Jesus, I belong to you. Lead me, teach me, forgive me for my sin, be the Lord of my life. Come, Holy Spirit. Have a wonderful day, friends.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.